Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to this week's Super Bowl edition of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Late last week, I had a chance to catch up to Clarence Page, the Tribune's Washington columnist, and we talked about President Obama's State of the Union speech. Will anything the president talked about actually happen? Here's the interview. Clarence, thanks for joining me. I have to tell you, I didn't see the State of the Union address as one of those big overarching addresses that you kind of get used to coming from the president.
I didn't either. I call it the downsized State of the Union, if you will, because I, especially from this president, we're accustomed to grand visions, the kind of inspirational speeches he was so good at during that first term. This time, it was a little more downbeat, a bit more reserved, no grand plans. It actually reminded me, Rick, of Clinton's second term. You remember when he ran into such fierce opposition from the Newt Gingrich uprising Democrats lost both houses of Congress, and he was getting all kinds of pushback. And at the time, Clinton adopted a triangulation strategy of trying to meet Republicans halfway and with a third way approach that was inspired by Dick Morris, of all people, back when he was advising Clinton. And Clinton started making a lot of small plans, you remember, more police on the street, pushing school uniforms.
Sure, the kind of small bore centrist type issues.
Exactly, and which sounds almost routine now because Clinton was so famous for it. But the fact that, you know, Clinton ran into the Monica Lewinsky scandal in his second term, but also the economy boomed. And that's what we remember Clinton for the most, both on the bad side and the good side. And that saved his legacy to a large degree. With Obama now, we're seeing, again, in my view, small bore actions. He pushed for reforms that he can get by executive order if he can't get them through Congress. Of course, leading the pack there was the minimum wage, and he announced by executive order he's going to raise the minimum wage for government contractors.
But even then, the White House couldn't say how many people that actually would affect.
Well, exactly, because it doesn't even go into effect for current workers, or current contracts, but for future contracts. And so that, again, you know, could have been a bold historic move if he had announced it for all contractors. But again, he kind of held his fire a bit. And similarly, you know, he didn't devote much time to immigration, you notice, in this speech, considering how that's probably the biggest major legislation that Obama and the Republicans have a chance of getting together on. And I think Obama's strategy here was to give Boehner more wiggle room by not putting himself out too much in front on this, because past experience shows that if Obama's name is connected to anything in any way, Republicans, especially Tea Party Republicans, are going to balk and resist it. I got that feeling throughout the speech that while there was the grand rhetoric, the actual punch of his plans or the sweep was not broad at all.
And no mention of gun control at all.
That's right.
And I mean, I assume a lot of this is reflective of the fact that 2014 is an election year. You don't necessarily, if you're a Democratic president, want to hang your own members out to dry on too many grandiose kind of issues. They're already, you know, threatened by whatever the public mood is regarding the Affordable Care Act.
That's right. And you know, let us not forget Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. That certainly is a measure that the Republicans are focused on. And I think, Rick, that in the past we saw in regard to the ACA and other legislation that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi had said, you know, you stand back, let us handle it. Again, I think going into this year, The general feeling in both parties is you're not going to see much of a grand scale coming out of Congress anyway because of the midterm elections. And one thing Republicans do want to do is to come out looking more positive on the immigration issue because in the short and especially long term, this is going to help them with Hispanic voters and Asian American voters and other minorities who came away feeling very negatively, as we saw people of color made the difference in Obama's reelection. And it was a very stark message that was delivered to Republicans. And so this is another good reason for some kind of immigration reform. The one word Republicans don't want to talk about is comprehensive. John Boehner has said, you know, we need to make some steps here and make some moves, but we're not going to get that sweeping comprehensive reform. What that means is Republicans can't get together over where the priorities are. Should it be with border security, or should it be with our employer sanctions and the other measures to have a pathway toward something like citizenship? And again, pathway to citizenship is just a non-starter with the far right. But this is where Boehner needs some kind of wiggle room in order to be able to bring Republicans on board with the immigration reforms that the party establishment definitely wants. So Obama, I think, is kind of hanging back and not trying to interfere or in any way interfere with that process of what's going on the GOP side of the line.
Clarence, I appreciate your take on immigration, because I wanted to ask you about that. Because, you know, as I sit here in Chicago, I see this kind of roller coaster out of Washington about immigration is up, but then it's down again, and then it's up, and then it's down again. And
that's right.
The latest, you know, some of the latest word out of Washington is that, as you noted, about, you know, there is a desire among Republicans that they know that they have to broaden their outreach strategy, that, you know, the votes of 2012 still resonate, you know, in their mind. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have these disparate elements within the Republican Party about what immigration signals. And, of course, you have some contested primary elections going on in mm-hmm. the Republican Party. So realistically, and the piecemeal approach that Boehner talks about. So how realistic, in your mind, is any advancement as far as immigration likely?
I think advancement is likely for a couple of reasons, one of which I just talked about, which is that the party establishment wants it, and I think the majority of the party voters want it, frankly. But because of gerrymandering and all, you've got a disproportionate amount of voting strength in those districts that don't have appreciable number of Hispanics or other folks who are other communities that are really pro-immigration. And you have also a period now in which the party itself is unified around one issue, and that's being opposed to Obama, opposed to Obamacare, and everything else they're divided on, especially on immigration. And you have I've talked with Luis Gutierrez a lot about this, who's become a real leader on this issue from Chicago.
Right.
That the fact that, you know, those of us who come from Chicago are sometimes puzzled by the amount of anti-immigration fervor that there is out there. It's always posed as anti-illegal immigrants, but it's a real a culture gap there between different districts in the country, and
almost like gun rights. You know,
that's
gun
right.
control and gun rights. That kind yeah. of it almost it transcends in some ways the typical partisanship and goes into more of a cultural differentiation than it is a party ID.
No question about it. The closer your community is to a lot of immigrants, the more likely you're going to be in favor of some kind of immigration reform, because you understand it on a whole different level than those folks who feel like immigrants are a threat, as far as jobs or culturally or whatever. And that's the kind of thing that's what has happened among the Republicans is that they are finding avenues toward some kind of agreement for the good of the party on the whole without showing their divide too much in public. So that's a the tough tightrope that John Boehner has to walk. And I appreciate that. You know, I grew up in John Boehner's district. I probably mentioned that to you before, down there in southwestern Ohio, and between Cincinnati and Dayton. And he's the kind of guy who comes from a district of pragmatic Republicans. They want to get deals done in order to help business, help commerce, et cetera. And that's ultimately what Boehner wants to do. But what we've seen is he's been largely flummoxed by the Tea Party wing that's rendered him unable to count his own votes. I think we're seeing that change now, Rick. You remember...
Well, I think that budget agreement certainly reflected that change, with Boehner actually taking on several of those large Tea Party ally groups.
That's right. And that famous statement of his, you know, what, are you kidding me?
Right.
And he was talking about... He was talking directly about the outside groups and influences, the Lobbyist Club for Growth and the Heritage Foundation's Action Group and those folks. But everybody knew he was also talking about his own Tea Party members there in Congress, that, hey, we tried things your way. We tried following Ted Cruz's way toward a government shutdown. It didn't work. It only distracted from the botched Obamacare rollout. And I think Boehner is feeling a lot more of his votes, and also other members of the party leadership are now feeling a lot more confident about their ability to keep the members of the House united behind something like immigration reform. And they're going to lose some votes, of course, but the question is, can they get the kind of a center-right coalition, enough of it together inside the party to get together with enough Democratic votes to get the measure passed?
That was my interview with Clarence Page, the Tribune's excellent Washington columnist. You can read his take on what's going on with immigration in today's Chicago Tribune. This is the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. We'll be back after this.